The church is God's institution for changing the world. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us about God's plan for the local church.
God says, I want my church to lift up the truth. If we wonder today why America is going downward morally and why we are turning our back on our founding principles, it is not all the fault of the politician. It is partly to blame at the door of the church that has compromised the Word of God and churches that are not lifting up what the Bible says.
What is church? Why is it important? How does it relate to your life? And how has it been redefined in today's culture? You know, a lot of different institutions use the word church that don't really align with Jesus' original statement, I will build my church. That is why we are in a series entitled Real Church. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is designed to give us an understanding of how a real church should function and how we fit into God's eternal plan for changing the world. Right now, we are going to begin our series in Colossians chapter 1 with a message entitled, A Real Beginning. Here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. I want you to look at the word Lord's, and it is another Greek word here, Kyriakos. The word Kyriakos means simply this, belonging to the Lord. Let's say that together. Belonging, in this case, the Lord's Supper. But the word means belonging to the Lord. Someone says, what does that have to do with our study on the church? Well, it's interesting because it is from the word Kyriakos that the Scottish derived the word Kirk, K-I-R-K. And into our English language came the word Kirk, that we in modern days call church. The word church then comes from these two meanings. First, an ecclesia, a called out assembly. Secondly, Kyriakos, which means belonging to the Lord. So at the foundation of what we are today, it's not about buildings, it's not about building programs, it's not about organized church. Just at the very foundational concept of what we are today, we are a called out group of people who belong to the Lord. Can I get an amen on that? All right. Let's keep it simple this morning. The real thing, church, is about saved people called out unto Jesus Christ, knowing that we belong to the Lord. Now, we have been called out to Christ through salvation. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. Turn, if you would, in your Bible to 1 Corinthians. Let's look at one very specific local church for a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Notice, if you would, as Paul writes to this church, 1 Corinthians 1:1. And just to get a concept of the church at Corinth in the first century. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother. Notice this now. Unto the, what are the next three words? All right. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of visiting ancient Corinth. And as we went into the city of Corinth, the first thing that we saw as an outcropping of their of the horizon was the Temple of Apollos. This was one of the temples of the Romans. It was one of their gods. There were many other gods that they worshiped, and the goddess of Aphrodite. We learned about the goddess of Zeus and so forth. And in this city of Corinth where Paul went, the people were wholly given over to idolatry. They worshiped idols. They worshiped pagan gods. They had places of prostitution and immorality. And sometimes it was even intertwined with their false religion. I don't have time to tell you about the depravity of Corinth. Every wicked kind of sin you can imagine was present there. Every kind of false religion you can imagine was present there. And Paul went to that city, and there he began at the synagogue and at the Bema seat to proclaim that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh, that he lived a perfectly sinless life, that he died and rose again. And he proclaimed the message of the resurrection. And while some blasphemed him, many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were saved. By the way, if you were saved at Corinth, you were called out from a worldliness unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and you belonged now, not to Apollo, you belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And the songwriter says, now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me, not for the time of this world alone, but for all of eternity. Now imagine that. This single man going to Corinth, preaching the gospel in a wicked place, people were saved. Now then, he writes back to them some months later, and he refers to them in verse 2 as the church of God, which is at Corinth. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited to think about the wonderful, amazing grace of God to take wicked, common, sinful men and women and to call them out unto himself, and now they're not living just for their lusts. Now they are living for the Lord, and they are the church of God at Corinth. Hey, it's a great privilege to be a member of a local New Testament Baptist church. I'm saying I'd rather be a member of Lancaster Baptist Church than the Elks or the Lions or the Moose or the Rams or the Dodgers or the Lakers or anything else. I'm thankful to God that I'm a called out member who belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ today. So they're called through salvation. Secondly, they identified through baptism. Now, at the basic understanding of what is church, those in the first century believed on Jesus. Now, catch this. After they believed on Jesus, they were baptized to identify with Jesus. Now, we know that one of the Baptist distinctives is regenerate baptism, or baptizing people who have been saved. And we also know that many traditions of men have crept into various false churches. And one of those traditions, which came at the Council of Carthage in the 3rd century, was the concept of baptizing babies. And the idea was that the babies would become a member of the church, sometimes the state church, and that this was a way to keep people in the church. How many of you have ever asked somebody if they knew the Lord as their Savior, or you've asked them about the Lord, and they'll say, well, you know, I am a part of such and so church. And they'll say, you'll say, well, how did that get started? And they'll say, because when I was a baby, I was what? Baptized in that church. And that idea of baby baptism or infant sprinkling was something that was not originally a part of the Bible, nor was it a part of the early church. We read in every instance in the New Testament, they believed and were baptized. They believed and were baptized. My friend, you can't believe on that which you cannot understand, and you cannot understand until you come to an age of accountability. That is why Baptists believe that first you get saved and then you get baptized. Now, that's simple. But it's important to our history biblically to know that a church is comprised of saved and then baptized people. If you were sprinkled as a baby, you had no doubt wonderful parents who were concerned about you, but you have not yet been biblically baptized. Biblical baptism always follows salvation. And even those reformers who came along in the 1500s, who were trying to break away from Rome, they were beginning to realize that Rome had lost her way and had become a false church and had included measures of paganism and so forth. Even the reformers themselves, in many cases, did not come all the way out in their traditions. In fact, they kept, in some instances, the infant baptism and other such traditions. Ulrich Zwingli in Zurich, Switzerland, was a reformer who came out of Rome and who preached against having idols in the church, and for that we are thankful. But he still insisted on infant baptism. And there were many people before him and during his time who believed that people should get saved and then get baptized. These are our Baptist forefathers, and these are people who paid a great price for their faith. And there was a man in Zurich by the name of Felix Manns, who believed that the membership of the church should be saved. And he went to this man Zwingli and he said, I understand that you are passionate about against Rome, but we must drop the idea of infant baptism and we must baptize people after they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the long story short is that Zwingli and his men took Felix Manns to the river next to the church, threw him into the river, held him with various devices under the water until his life was snuffed out. And Felix Manns is but one of millions of examples of men who died at the hands of religion because they believe what I am preaching to you right now from the Bible, that salvation comes first and baptism comes second. But my friend, the scriptures are clear. Acts 2 and verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were there, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That is why we often say that Baptists are not Protestants, because there have been people before the Protestant Reformation who believed in salvation first and baptism second, and they paid a tremendous price to be the church at that particular moment in world history. And so the church is comprised of saved, baptized people. How many of you are with me so far? That's how it happens. People are called out unto Jesus, and they identify in believers' baptism with Jesus Christ. Secondly, the church consists in local assemblies. And as early as Acts chapter 9, after the day of Pentecost, we see churches getting started because Christians were going everywhere preaching the gospel. Acts 9:31, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. And we know that in Acts chapter 14, there was a church called the church at Antioch. And in verse 27, they had a church meeting, and they gathered together and they prayed and fasted, and the Holy Ghost spoke to them, and God moved on their hearts that Paul and Barnabas should go forth and be missionaries from the church at Antioch. Listen to me. Church is the real thing. Listen to me. Without state sponsorship, without denominational sponsorship, just Christians together in the local church praying, fasting, listening to the Holy Spirit, missionaries went out and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the known world. I'm saying to you that the local assembly needs to be sensitive to do what God has called us to do. And so the composition of the church, it is made of a called out people who gather in local assemblies around the word of God to do what God has called us to do. And so we see, first of all, this morning, this matter of the calling of the church, Jesus calling men unto himself. The composition of the church, these that have been called, identifying in believers' baptism in local assemblies. Notice, thirdly, the continuation of the church, or the continuity of the church. I trust that you've at least by this point realized salvation is a tremendous blessing. Men and women in the past have paid a great price for salvation, followed by believers' baptism. But I trust that you also have a burden to see Bible-believing churches continue on into the 21st century. Have you ever stopped to consider that the church is only one generation away from extinction? Biblical church as we know it today, it will only take one generation to fail in our responsibility. Are you aware that in New England today, there are churches that are being turned into bookstores and coffee shops? Are you aware that in California, there are congregations struggling and wondering if it's worthwhile to keep on keeping on? There are many Christians today who have given up on their faith. How can we continue this first century Bible-based Christianity? Let me share a few thoughts as we close. First, it will be done through Christ's commission. Jesus gave to his apostles, who became the foundation of the church, a commandment. In Matthew 28:19, he said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He said in verse number 20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now, he would be with the church by way of his Spirit, who came on the day of Pentecost. But he said, "I want you as my church to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." And so from Christ, this commandment came to the apostles. And through the apostles, as they wrote the New Testament, it came to us. And we have now the responsibility of the continuation of getting out the gospel message around the world today. And it is through the commission of Christ that this message will continue. Why do we have soul winning? Why do we pass out gospel tracts? Why do we encourage everyone here not to be ashamed of Christ, but to invite others to church and tell others of Christ? Why? It's not because it is our commission that we are giving, but we are continuing to proclaim what Jesus gave to his apostles and they to us. And so it is through Christ's commission that the church continues. Secondly, it is through our obedience. It is through our obedience that the church continues. How many of you realize that Christ giving a commission is one thing, my obeying it is another thing? And there are some things that God has called upon us as believers to be involved in, and I want to share those with you very quickly. First, God has called us to assemble. Even as the early churches assembled, we assemble today to do the will of God. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, friend, there are many Christians in this world today, so-called, who say they believe in Jesus, they believe in the Bible, but because of their lack of involvement, their lack of obedience, the church is not continuing like it could. God says, I want my people to get together to encourage each other around the Word of God. There was a young man that lived next to an elderly lady, and he was a kind young man. He took her trash out, he brought her groceries in. One day the lady said, young man, you are such a kind young man. How did you get to be like this? And he said, well, he said, really the truth is, he said, when I was younger, he said, as a boy, I had a real drug problem. And the woman was shocked. She said, you're kidding me. I can't believe that. He said, no, it's true. He said, my parents drugged me to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And he said, God used that in my life. And God still uses the ministry of the local church. But we must assemble to hear what the Word of God says. We must obey God's command to assemble. Secondly, we must then be willing to stand on the truth of the Word of God. We must be willing to stand. Remember that verse, the pillar and the ground of the truth. Now, Ephesians 6 and verse 14 tells us to have our loins girt about with truth and to stand for the truth of the Word of God. But I want you to take a moment with me and just think about those who have stood before us. Think about the first century Christians. Think about those who the Bible says were sawn asunder, who were crucified upside down. John, who was boiled in oil on the island of Patmos. The list goes on and on and on. Men and women who believed that salvation was through Jesus, who baptized converts after they were saved, and yet in those early centuries they suffered greatly. I think past the early centuries into what is called the Dark Ages, and time does not permit to go through all of the challenges of those living at that period of time in world history. People who believed salvation was not through a church, but that it was through Jesus only. Beginning in 1919, the Pope issued four crusades to exterminate the Albigenses and the Waldenses. This group known as the Waldenses, they were following the teachings of a man named Peter Waldo. And Peter Waldo taught salvation was through Jesus, and he taught that baptism should come after salvation. And because of that, the church at Rome began inquisitions against these Waldensians. Time does not permit, but please bear in mind, before the Protestant Reformation ever got started, in the 11th century and 12th century, 1 million Waldensians were murdered during the Inquisitions. They not only murdered during the Crusades the Muslims, and you can use this in your soul winning, but also they murdered those who believed that baptism should come after salvation. Time does not permit to cover all of the history of it. Needless to say this morning, there have been men and women pay a great price to be a part of an assembly that held to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. After we stepped out of the St. Peter's Basilica last week, I saw a Roman Catholic priest there on the steps, and I went up to him and spoke to him, and I said, why are you here at the Vatican? And he said, I'm here studying church history. And I'd been preparing for these messages. I said, have you, by the way, his name was Gregory. He's from France, where the Waldensians resided in part. I said, have you ever heard of a group known as the Waldensians? He said, yes, I have. I said, are you aware of the fact that the Pope had a decree issued that they should be exterminated and that crusades were held against these people who believed that Jesus only could save and who believed that people who were saved through Jesus should be baptized after their conversion? He said, I'm aware of that. He actually sort of hung his head as he mentioned his awareness of that moment of church history. I said, I'm of the lineage of those people who believe in salvation through Jesus only and in baptism after salvation. I said, I'm a Baptist pastor. I said, I want you to know that there are many of us still today who believe that salvation is not found through the keys of this particular church, but it's found through Jesus Christ alone. And there on the steps of the Vatican, we opened up God's word and shared with him salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. You pray that he might come under conviction and see his need, not for a church, but for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about the Dark Ages. I think about the Reformation. Time does not permit to tell of men such as Ridley and Latimer, men who were burned at the stake because they did not believe in a church, but they believed in Jesus Christ. I'm saying today we must continue on assembling and standing for the truth and teaching the truth as never before. In this 25th year, as we begin many new Bible classes and soul-winning outreaches, we're simply saying we want to be faithful to teach other men who will carry on the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, think about it this morning as we close. Real Christians in real churches have been faithful throughout the generations, and now it comes to us. Now it's our time to be the church that God has called us to be. And he has instituted the local New Testament church, of which we are privileged to be a part today. And God says, now I want you to continue on. Carry out my word. Here's your commission. I want you to be faithful and obedient in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. And I hope you know today, God is still calling men out to his son, Jesus Christ. Even as Jesus went to Peter and Andrew and said, follow me. There are some in this room today. Perhaps you've been following a church. You've kept the sacraments. Perhaps you're trying to do your very best. But today I tell you, as I said earlier in the message, salvation is not through good works or the Baptist or the Catholic or any other church. There is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. And that name is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why he has the preeminence here. Have you ever been saved, my friend? Have you ever been one that received Christ as your Savior, not trusting in a church, but trusting in Jesus Christ? Oh, I hope you will trust him today. And if you are saved, why don't you join with us in continuing on in the tradition of those that have been faithful to Christ? Why don't you determine in this 25th year of Lancaster Baptist Church, I want to help get the gospel out. I want to help in being faithful that others may know that Jesus Christ still saves, that others will be saved and baptized until Jesus Christ comes again. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, this morning we thank you for the church. We thank you, Father, that you have given to us the privilege of, first of all, knowing Jesus as our Savior. Secondly, the privilege to gather together with other believers who belong to the Lord. And Lord, if there's anyone here that's never been saved, they do not know that heaven is their home, I pray that they would be saved today. Lord, I pray this morning that you would help us as a church to be very involved in continuing on the gospel message. In a day when some churches are literally taking those pillars down, denying the truth. Lord, may we keep the truth high in our community. May we never be ashamed of what your Bible says. Help us to realize you have brought us together for that purpose.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. And today, he's been teaching a series entitled Real Church. If you are interested in watching Pastor Chappell preach live during a Lancaster Baptist Church service, you can now log on to lbclive.tv Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 11, or Sunday evenings at 5 Pacific Standard Time. You can also visit lancasterbaptist.org for a list of other services. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
God never meant for you to go through life alone. If you're not a part of a local church, it is God's plan that you find one and get involved. Every Christian needs a church family to belong to. If you are in our area of Southern California, I invite you to attend one of the services here at Lancaster Baptist Church. You can find our location and service times when you visit our website at lancasterbaptist.org. And if you really want to see a church in action, I invite you to visit our annual Open House Sunday, October 12th at 8:30 or 11. People from all over Southern California will visit us on that day. And I invite you to be my guest. If you're not in our area and you need help finding a church home, write to me, paulchapel@dailyintheword.org, and I'll send you some information on how to find a good church. Besides teaching and preaching the Bible, a great part of my life is spent investing in young people here at West Coast Baptist College. West Coast Baptist College shares the campus of Lancaster Baptist Church. We are a four-year Bible college dedicated to training young men and women for a life of ministry in local churches around the world. If you are interested in Bible college, or if you know a young person that is, contact us today at wcbc.edu. It is our joy and privilege to serve Christ and to prepare others to serve Christ at the West Coast Baptist College.
That was Pastor Paul Chapel with Daily in the Word. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chapel has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 28 years, and he is the author of many books, including Out of Commission. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chapel's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message. Connect with us and sign up for Pastor Chapel's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.